My question would be, under the provisions, would it be possible that an American citizen then could be declared an enemy combatant and sent to Guantanamo Bay and detained indefinitely?
I think that as long as that individual, no matter who they are, if they pose a threat to the security of the United States of America, should not be allowed to continue that threat.
To continue that threat, I'm infuriated by Senator McCain's nonsensical and unconstitutional answer. I'm sure our next guest is too. Senator Rand Paul was questioning Senator McCain on our top story tonight. A bill written in secret by Senator McCain and Senator Carl Levin that would give the U.S. military and not civilian law enforcement agencies the ability to arrest anyone and hold that person indefinitely, even if that person is an American arrested on American soil. Here to discuss this frustrating development is Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul. Before we get into the politics of who voted for it and who voted against it, what's your take on what's going on here? I mean, everybody in the Senate took an oath to uphold the Constitution, which says no person, doesn't even say no American, it says no person shall be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And here they go ahead and vote for legislation that denies it.
Well, you know, we had a discussion about this among some Republicans at lunch, and one other Republican senator read from the Constitution and pointed out all the places where you are guaranteed a trial by a jury, while you're guaranteed a speedy trial, while you're guaranteed habeas corpus, you're guaranteed all these rights. And it does strike me as perplexing that anyone could vote to send an American citizen who's been accused of a crime to a detention center in a foreign land without due process. Really is beyond me.
Well, without asking you to share confidential conversations, what justification did these people give for this? They all took, I'm talking about your fellow Republicans, I think only Senator Kirk from Illinois joined you. Even Mike Lee voted for this, a shocking development, which he and I will discuss in another show. But what are the Republicans trying to accomplish when they defy the Constitution, which they took an oath to uphold?
Well, here's what most of them argued. Most of them argue that Hamdi and Quirin, two Supreme Court cases, have justified holding U.S. citizens as enemy combatants. They also argued that the Padilla case did, but that wasn't a Supreme Court case. I guess my point is that I agreed with Scalia, who was the dissent in the Hamdi case, and who said that really high treason has been tried in our courts usually, and it is the exception to ever give up our rights. It's happened during war. But my point about this is a war without end. I'm afraid of giving up the right to trial by jury and hoping that someday they will declare an end to this war and they'll give back the right to trial by jury. It really concerns me.
It's very interesting how people can twist and torture language. Hamdi was a case lost by the Bush administration in which Justice O'Connor said everybody's entitled to a trial. And Quirin was a case lost by the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration, which said even a German saboteur was born in the United States of America was captured trying to blow up munitions plants during World War II was entitled to a trial. But here you have colleagues of yours. I know this isn't the law yet. The vote earlier today was on a procedural amendment, which indicates how this is likely to turn up. Colleagues of yours who can read the Constitution as you do, basically throwing up their arms and saying, well, since presidents before Obama have gotten away with this, we might as well write it into the law and let him and successors do so lawfully what the other presidents took a chance on doing?
Well, their other argument is that there will be one procedural hurdle, and the procedural hurdle is that there will be a habeas, or you have to present the body. The judge has to rule on whether or not the person can be held. But my argument to them was that to me is the beginning of due process. That's not the end of due process. To have a habeas hearing before a judge to see if you can hold a prisoner is the beginning of due process, but that's not all of due process. Due process involves a jury trial, a judge, legal help on both sides of the equation and a conclusion. So there's much more than just a habeas hearing.
Right.
But they claim that having a habeas hearing is enough. But the problem is then you hold somebody after one hearing, you can hold them indefinitely. Their argument also is they say, well, 27% of the prisoners we've released from Guantanamo went back into combat. But my response to them was, those 27% that were released weren't released because of due process. They were released because some generals in the administration decided to let them go. It had nothing to do with due process letting them go.
Got it.
In fact, due process, we've convicted several people in the United States through due process who were terrorists.
Interesting. I wonder how the American people will feel when they see troops in the streets on a regular basis, something no one now living has seen since it ended the last time in 1876. Senator Paul, it's a pleasure, even when we discuss these unpleasant matters. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.